Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It's so good to be here. Well, I was going to do something from John, but Bracken, he asked me if I was going to read the Epiphany. This conveys the Epiphany. The Epiphany reading was a Gospel John reading. So I thought I'd read the Epiphany just in case, you never know. So that's what we're going to do. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about worship from this Epiphany reading. Again, this is the first couple of verses. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and have come and worship him." Now again, we've talked about this over the years, but I mean, it was a star that could be seen, but it wasn't like this big giant star or everybody else had been wandering around talking about, what is this star? But they knew the scripture and they were looking for it. And they had traveled, I would imagine, for weeks, maybe even months to get to where Jesus was. And so here are these Magi who are seeing some things that nobody else seemed to see. And they saw some things that nobody else seemed to see because they were looking for it. It's real complicated. I'm always interested when the Upper Discourse in John 13, when Jesus says something about one of them that would betray him, and Peter leans over and John says, "Tell us who he's talking about." As if John would know. Like Peter was supposed to be the leader of the group, but see, John was the one leaning on the breast of Jesus, and I'm sure it wasn't the first time that happened. And there's John, Peter just assumed that there were some things that Jesus told John and didn't tell everybody else.
The interesting thing is that John didn't know, but he did something everybody else could have done too, but John, his relationship was different. He was the only one who boldly said, "Well, Lord, who are you talking about?" Any of them could ask that question. But why John? There's something really unique about his relationship. Something really unique about these Magi, because when they get to Jerusalem, nobody seems to have a clue what they're talking about. But this was a big deal. They left everything behind. One, they were looking and they saw it. And they left everything behind. It wasn't like they got, you know, Southwest Airlines. They were traveling through desert and probably robbers and stuff were places to get to Jerusalem. It says, "We came here to come here because we saw his star. We've come to worship him." And then there's a bunch of stuff in between what I'm going to tell you, but I'm just going to go back to this one thing. After they had to talk to Herod, they went out and saw the star again, and the star moved. And it moved over to where Jesus was at. And Jesus was not tiny, but he was maybe a couple of months old. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy, and they came to the house and saw the child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him, opening their treasures. They presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. It didn't say, it says they came to worship him. They went a long way to worship him. They put a lot of effort into worshiping him. And when they got in his presence, they worshiped him. But they didn't worship him by putting on a tape from Hillsong and everybody moving around the room raising their hands. Now, is that an expression of worship? Yes. But remember what it says in Romans chapter 12. "I urge you, therefore, brethren, in light of God's mercy, in light of God's grace, to present your body a living and holy sacrifice, which is your reasonable service of worship." At the heart of worship, what is worship? An absolutely surrendered life that is seeking the Lord's, That's what God's looking for, true worshipers. Not just the ones who can raise their hands and sing the songs and go do what they want to do during the week, live the way they want to live, but like these magi, that this getting to Jesus, being in his presence was the most important thing in the world to them. And it didn't matter to them how much they had to sacrifice to do that. I mean, that's surrender. That's passion. They came into a city of strangers. And then when they got in Jesus' presence, they brought things with them. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they worshiped him and expressed that worship by laying down what they had. It was costly. Again, surrender is costly. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. He's basically saying present your person, your whole person, even your bodies, even if it meant your body's at risk of being destroyed. Martyrs were true worshipers. We have story after story throughout church history of people who were being burned alive as they sang praises to God. And that's true worship. Now, does that mean you have to go out and get burned so you can pray? No, it just means that worshiping is more than just singing songs. The singing songs to him and adoring him, taking that time out, is that expression of surrender and all that? Yes. And worship should be an expression of a yielded life that would have paid any price to get to that place where they can, again, this means you have my body, you have everything. You mean more to me than anything in the world. And then I worship him every day, throughout the day, as I obey him. And I surrender. Those are acts of worship. Everything, doesn't it? It includes my money, it includes things, and so I think all for Jesus. You're always, you know, we tell this a lot, like when you get into a situation, let's just say you're driving home, you got to be somewhere at a certain time, and there's an accident or some kind of fender bender, or they're fixing the road, and it's obviously you're going to be late. So what we can do is complain about that or remember that that doesn't change the truth about who he is in me. And he doesn't complain and doesn't get frustrated. And so surrendering to that, I'm looking to Jesus. What's the truth here? And the Holy Spirit leads me into all truth. The Holy Spirit leads me into all things. And so that this conversation where Jesus says, well, this is right where I want to be. And I'm not frustrated or impatient or concerned about what they're going to think when you get there late, because it's not, this is part of the story. And when I yield to that and participate in that, that's worship. Looking for Jesus and surrendering to him. And yes, when I come to church, I come to church when you come to church, you come intentionally. And not because you're trying to fulfill an obligation, because you want to get here, because you want to express to him again that I love you more than anything in the world. Everything that I am and everything I have is yours. But at its heart, that's an expression of surrender. That's a declaration of surrender. But worship is a surrendered life that gives up everything. And we live that out day by day, don't we? When I choose to not give in to anger, frustration, stuck in traffic, and instead put on Christ, sink into him, and say, yes, Lord, no, we don't get frustrated, and my times are in your hands, I've just worshiped him. And that kind of gives me an idea of a worshiping life, not just one that shows up at places, puts on hill songs and sings songs, raises my hand. It's a worshiping thing. I'm just worshiping him all day long. Okay? So if you get an epiphany of that, It can change your life, change your day. But all the opportunities you get to, every day to worship him, to adore him. Okay.